The following is a RockRadioShow.com exclusive.
WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay, and we're back. That's right, guys. We are going to talk all about SmackDown, which aired this past Friday on Fox. It was the debut. So guess what? The SmackDown Throwdown lives.
Surprise.
We figured we just couldn't resist reviewing SmackDown one more time, especially since it was the debut on Fox. So we figured we had to talk about it because there were a couple pretty big moments on this show that are worth talking about.
Yeah, so let's get into the SmackDown Throwdown.
Welcome everyone to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
The best in the world!
So let's get into it.
All right, so, well, WWE wasted no time in bringing out the big guns because SmackDown started with the man, Becky Lynch.
No, you're wrong. SmackDown opened with Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon.
Okay, yeah, that's true, that's fair. That's but, fair,
but
it did.
But before we get into all that, right?
Right.
The set.
Oh my god, the set is wicked.
WrestleMania level.
It is. Like, it's pretty big. I mean, it's very, very impressive. I love the little, like, I guess parentheses. I don't know what else to call them. They come out from the entrance and sort of radiate out because they light up. And just the whole thing is so cool looking. It's not a fist, but it's pretty cool.
It's sort of a throwback to the oval set. Remember the oval set?
Mm-hmm. I do.
It's kind of like that.
Sort of.
But modern.
But very modern.
It has, you have laser beams, and you have all the LED boards. It has sort of the feel of the old Raw Arena with the, from like 5 years ago. Has that kind of feel to it as well, but everything is just gigantic. It's massive. Oh my god, it's massive.
Yeah, to say the least, but it's pretty wicked.
And then the intro video they did?
Yeah, the intro video was very, very cool. They spent a lot of time on that video. And damn it, y'all, if Taker isn't in the video.
He is. So is Bray.
So is Bray. So is Seth. So were a bunch of other people. It's going to be really easy for them to edit it once the draft happens. Because basically the superstars are just inserted into like this 3D modeled area.
But you kind of get a hint on who could be drafted over.
Yeah, there are definitely hints of who's going over, but it's like Bray and Seth both being on there. It's like, well, wait a minute. Well, they both can't come over because one of them has to win the Universal title on Sunday. So
we'll see what happens there. But yeah, so then the man came out and she was interrupted by the king.
Baron Corbin,
yeah. I have to make sure we get the right king out there. And then, wasted no time, they brought out the most electrifying man in all of entertainment, The Rock.
Yeah, they just brought out the big guns early, made sure he was there.
So he did his shtick. He was very complimentary of the man and not so much the king. And they ran him down. We got all the catchphrases. We did the "it doesn't matter." We talked about testicles, and Becky Lynch got a nice little dig in there how, you know, she would have, if she carried around testicles, she would have bigger ones than Baron Corbin.
I mean, technically she does have balls. They're just higher, but they are definitely bigger.
But they're not testicles. They're pointing out testicles, not, well. Anyway, so yeah, it was all the stuff. He was a broke-ass Burger King on crack at one point. And he's also was referred to as a super tough dude.
Yeah. I will say that this was a great use of Baron Corbin. Like, he is perfect in this kind of stuff.
Because he gets so much heat. He generates the best heat, so it was perfect to use him as the foil to The Rock. And if you don't get what Super Tough Dude is, well, think about it.
Think really hard about it, y'all.
Mm-hmm. So, Corbin then got his ass kicked by The Rock and The Man. We had a People's Elbow, we had a Rock Bottom, Becky got some shots in on Baron as well. And The Man and the People's Champ stood tall to close out the segment.
Becky needs to get that picture of her and The Rock standing side by side framed.
Yeah.
She does. She really does. And then The Rock kind of gave her a pat on the back to end the segment because, yeah, the torch has been passed to The Man from The Rock, which was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. She got the quote-unquote rub from The Rock.
Which was cool.
Which was very cool. And then transition to Becky Lynch and Charlotte take on Sasha and Bayley. You had Trish and Lita in the crowd, along with Maria Menounos. Good match. This was not as good as the one they had on Raw a few weeks back, because, well, they had half the time. But it set the stage as Bayley tapped to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Setting up our fourth match.
At Hell in a Cell. Yay, we have four matches, guys.
All right.
Woohoo!
So I guess we're going to make the intern listen to this because we'll make our pick here. So, intern, hi.
Hi, Brent.
You'll learn about this in a little bit. So, who you got?
Bayley versus Charlotte. Ooh. You know, I'm going to keep with Bayley.
You're going Bayley?
I'm going Bayley. I think she overtakes Charlotte. I just feel like Charlotte's not ready for a title yet. And Charlotte's someone that could move in the draft. I don't feel like they're going to move Bayley around, that she's going to stay where she's at. Unless they possibly have her go back to NXT. But I just don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either.
But Bayley would be... She's doing okay on the main roster now that they're, like, behind her. And they're not, you know, just not, you know, figuring out what to do with her kind of thing. But she would be one that it wouldn't necessarily hurt her if she went back to NXT.
I was going to say Bayley. Charlotte wins on Sunday.
But Bayley retains?
But Bayley retains, yeah. I feel like it ends in disqualification because it's just a last-minute match. I don't think they're going to do the title change, but Charlotte needs to win, but doesn't need the title.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Magic 8-Ball, will Bayley retain? Magic 8-Ball says most likely.
There you go. Right. It's behaving itself so far.
Well, we only have the one match, so it behaved.
Hey!
It behaved. You had Aaron Andrews backstage with the New Day.
Which was huge, to have Aaron Andrews there.
It was really cool. She seemed like she was digging it. They talked about climbing mountains and overcoming odds, and they did all New Day stuff, and that was fine. It was cool. It had some legitimacy. They had Carissa Thompson do the blue carpet, so it's like, it all mattered. You then had Seth Rollins about to take on the one and only Shinsuke Nakamura in a champion versus champion match, but before that happened, we had a Firefly Funhouse.
We did, and well, F's in chat for Ramblin' Rabbit.
What? No, he's alive.
F's in chat for Ramblin' Rabbit, because, well, he died on Monday. He came back to life.
He was Seth Rollins.
The best part of this was Seth's reaction to the rabbit dressed up as him. Seth was like, oh, god damn it. Like, he just stood there and dropped his head and he was shaking it. He's like, crap. You could just see it. He's like, I'm not going to laugh. But yeah, so Ramblin' Rabbit, he's a Seth Rollins fanboy. He's super excited. But, well, the residents of the Funhouse did not take a liking to Ramblin' Rabbit's adoration of Seth Rollins. In fact, Bray Wyatt decided he would demonstrate what's going to happen on Sunday when The Fiend and Seth Rollins meet. And essentially, Bray threw Ramblin' Rabbit into a cage with Mercy the Buzzard. And, well, I think we all know what happened.
Mercy beat the stuffing out of the Ramblin' Rabbit.
And killed him.
Yeah.
And then, again.
And the Bray's just there holding both sides of the rabbit, laughing.
See you in hell on Sunday, Seth. And, well, this led to a really, really good match between Seth and Shinsuke. Wouldn't mind seeing more of it, honestly.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes out of it. It was good. It well lasted. And then, well, everything sort of turned dark as the Fiend showed up, put the mandible claw on Seth Rollins, who left the ring and ran up the stage so Bray could get him. And, you know, knocked him off the stage.
What was cool about this was the fact that you had Shinsuke and you had Seth sort of looking around for the Fiend. And they kept cutting back and forth between the two because you weren't exactly sure who's going to get attacked, essentially. Was it going to be Seth? Was it going to be Shinsuke? And in the end, it was Seth. But it was neat how they kind of cut back and forth a little bit to make you think, oh, well, I'm not sure who it could be.
Right. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good. At this point, you could tell they were running behind because at one point, I think it was right before this matchup, Hogan and Flair were briefly shown in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, we're running late. We're running long. It's because then you knew they were running long because Kevin Owens didn't get an entrance for his ladder match with Shane McMahon.
Yeah, they were clipping through things to try and keep on time. And the match between Kevin and Shane was really good. Shane McMahon died for our sins, again, as he usually does. So thank you very much, Shane. But yeah, this was a really, really good match. It was fun.
It had three big spots. It had Shane McMahon's table spot. Or I should say four big spots. Shane's table spot. You had Owens then do a frog splash onto Shane through a ladder,
mm-hmm.
which gave Shane McMahon the perfect I'm dead face.
Yeah.
Shane did coast to coast with the ladder. And then the final spot, Owens was able to recover, powerbomb Shane onto a ladder that was top between the ropes. And then Kevin Owens was able to pull down the briefcase and terminate Shane McMahon. He picked up a microphone, told him he's fired, and gave him a stunner.
Which was pretty damn cool.
It's weird they said terminated. It was weird.
You don't say fired anymore in business. You say they were terminated.
I know, but it's like when watching it live, people were like, is Arnold Schwarzenegger coming or something?
Sure, we'll go with that.
So, anyway. Then we had Paul Heyman. He hyped up the match for the main event. Talk about Brock will become champion once again tonight. And then we had a random 8-man tag. Braun Strowman, The Miz, and Heavy Machinery versus AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode. But the match wasn't important. Braun's team won. Braun mowed over everyone. But at one point, he threw Dolph Ziggler into a barricade, which knocked the seat of one Tyson Fury, professional boxer. He got up. He jawed with Strowman. Strowman then finished off the match. And then Tyson Fury got over the barricade, and security had to pull him away.
Tyson Fury was a little strange because he was in a suit with no shirt. Like, he just had the jacket on, but if he'd taken the jacket off, he would have been topless. It's a little weird, but it was a cool moment. I mean, it was definitely a cool moment, but yeah, it's just a little strange.
It was a little strange. We will hear from Tyson Fury. He's being given the opportunity, as I learned on SportsCenter, to come on the Monday Night Raw to talk. Yes, I learned about it on SportsCenter.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
On the social media, Marshmallow became 24/7 champion and would end up losing that same title to Carmella. But Marsh.
Go Marsh!
Then you had Daniel Bryan on commentary for the Lumberjack match. Eric Rowan and Roman Reigns. Really good match. Luke Harper showed up towards the end. He brawled with Daniel Bryan, with all the Lumberjacks, and then Rowan did his big-ass dive onto everybody, and then Luke got back in the ring, but Daniel Bryan got in there. Rowan had Bryan, which led to a spear, and then Bryan and Roman had a handshake at the end. I still think a turn is coming.
This is too perfect. Like, I just don't trust Bryan. I'm sorry. I don't. I should, but I don't. Because it's like, this is just too random that Daniel Bryan was a angry, pissed off little man for a while, and then he's fine. I have a hunch that this is not going to be what we think this is going to be.
Something is afoot.
Yeah. I smell a rat, but he might be a goat. I'm not sure. Anyway, I love Luke Harper coming out and just literally starting beating the crap out of people. Like, he took down, I think, 3 or 4 people before the mob descended on him. Like, I think that's awesome. It's like, go Luke! Go Luke! But yeah, the match was really, really good. It was really entertaining.
It was. So, there you go. Then, it is time for your main event with Goldberg and Mark Henry at ringside, Matt Leinart at ringside and some other dude from Fox. I forget his name. It was Kofi Kingston defending the WWE Championship against the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar. Little Nate is your referee. This matchup was presented by a movie. 1, 2, 3. It was over. 1 F5. Down he went. They disrespected Kofi Kingston.
I don't feel like they did, though.
No, they didn't.
Like, I know a lot of people were upset by this. And Kofi was a tremendous champion. And he deserved every moment he had as champion. And let's be completely honest. He's been champion since WrestleMania. He has had some epic level title defenses
I wouldn't call him epic.
Just go with me on this. He's had some epic level title defenses. And he's done wonderful things. And I feel like, you know, like we said when we were sort of picking this, it was kind of time to move on. And this is the debut on Fox. And it is not to knock Kofi at all. But the biggest name that they have in that company that is not either retired or part or like, you know, in their 50s or whatever is Brock Lesnar. He is the biggest name that they have. He is the household name that they have. So it makes complete sense that on the debut on Fox, you're going to put the title on the biggest name that you have.
Okay. People say, oh my God, they did him dirty. No, one know what doing him dirty would be? What they did is Zack Ryder, where he wins the Intercontinental title and then loses it the next night on Raw. If Kofi lost the title the next night on Raw, that's doing him dirty. If he lost the title the next month, that's doing him dirty. But he's had the title since WrestleMania. He was a champion for the spring. He was champion through the summer. He had solid matches. They were not main events. That was one thing that hurt him. None of his matches really moved the needle, as it were. If he was a strong champion, he would have moved the needle more than he did. Was it great for him? Yes. Was it great for people his size? Yes. But at the end of the day, he didn't move the needle. He was a guy as the champion of the brand, but he was not a main event level champion. So I'll be real. He was a good champion, but never made it as a main event level champion. So I think we can all agree on that one, right?
Or maybe yes and no.
He did his job, but it wasn't enough.
And here's the thing. Kofi can always get the title back. There's nothing stopping them from making him a champion again. And I'm sure he will be a champion again. But especially given what happened after the match, it makes complete sense why they did what they did. Which I think this pissed people off even more is because you had Rey Mysterio show up with Cain Velasquez, of all people. And, like, basically, Brock looked like he'd seen a ghost. He was terrified. And he and Cain proceeded to fight. And Cain challenged Brock.
Well, I wouldn't say they fought. I think Lesnar got his ass kicked and then hightailed it out of there.
Yeah, we're in like a little you-know-what. But
let's be real on that one. Cain came in, tackled Lesnar, started laying in shots, and Brock covered up right away, and then he fled.
Still looking like he's seen a ghost.
Because he did. It's a ghost from his past. It's like Cain Velasquez was the guy who beat Brock Lesnar back in 2010-ish for the championship. I mean, it's a ghost of his past that he never, the loss he never sort of got back. Yeah, so.
Cain Velasquez is the guy that sent Brock back to WWE, so let's. One of them, yeah. So let's think about that. So, one, it was kind of quasi-hilarious because Ray shows up with Cain, and it's like, that's him, Dad! That's the guy that beat up Dominic and I, right there! That's him! That's what it looked like! So what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Ray's probably old enough to be Kane's father at this point, it just, when that happened, it's like Ray just walks out with him and it's like, him! It was him! He beat us up! Right there! Him! And then the two proceed to go. But yeah, it was kind of a laughable moment, but SmackDown closes with Cain Velasquez in the ring and Brock Lesnar looking terrified on the stage. And, you know, Cain Velasquez going, let's go! Let's fight. Let's go. You want to fight? Let's fight. And I think a lot of people are like, well, you know, Cain Velasquez is brand new. You know, he hasn't done anything to deserve a title match in WWE. Correct. That is accurate. But I'm going to point out he has a long-standing record in MMA. And he could probably whoop anybody on that roster. Anybody talking crap about him in real life. Easily. Number one.
Yeah.
Two, for every other wrestler that comes in, isn't that kind of the same thing, that they've done nothing in WWE to deserve a title shot, but yet they want, like, everybody wants everybody pushed to the main event right away? So how is this different from anything else?
Hey, it's not like any of you are going to go watch the show he fights on. I mean, apparently it's going to happen in Saudi Arabia. Who's watching that show?
Right?
What's it going to do? Realistically, it should be a big fight on Fox, because you could take two promotable names and build it on football Sundays, and it would be a thing. But that's just me. That's how I would.
They could. They still could. But I think the rematch is going to be in Saudi Arabia. I'm fairly sure.
The first match is in Saudi.
Yeah, and then after that, you'll do it on probably SmackDown. But, I mean, I'm sorry it ended this way for Kofi. I feel like he should have had a much bigger, grander match to say farewell to the title to. I will concede that, but they did what they did. I don't feel like they screwed Kofi. I don't feel like they were degrading to him in any way. I think they had a need, and he had to fill it, and that's just the really unfortunate situation where they need the title on Brock so he can face Cain Velasquez with it, and unfortunately Kofi was stuck in the middle of that, and that's what happened. And also, you need Brock to look strong. You need Brock to look like the beast. He can't have a 10-minute match, and I'm pretty sure Brock didn't want to have a 10-minute match with anybody. He just kind of wanted to go out there, do his thing, and leave, which that's Brock. I mean, Xavier Woods basically summed up Brock Lesnar very well on his Twitter, if you go read his Twitter. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So I'm sorry for Kofi that it ended that way, but he was a great champion, and I'm sure he will be one again. But all in all, it was an awesome closing to SmackDown.
Yeah, it was. Very awesome episode of SmackDown Live. SmackDown, no longer SmackDown Live. Yeah, and very enjoyable. I enjoyed the entire show, top to bottom. It was very fast-paced. Next week should run a little smoother. You don't have to wedge The Rock in at the beginning in his 15-minute segment. So you'll be able to do more, and it's also the draft, so it'll be chaotic as well.
Yeah.
It also did really well in the ratings. I mean, 1.4 million is great. Almost 4 million.
Yeah.
Even better. And just saying.
They did really good numbers. They did almost 4 million throughout the night. They had a little drop, I think, after The Rock. But they held pretty consistent the rest of the night, which is a wonderful sign. They won their demo, which is good.
They slaughtered the demo. The average for hour one was 3.9, 3.8 for hour number two. So they really didn't lose anything throughout the night. Everyone stuck around, but for the most part.
Which is great.
That's what you can ask for. And the demo was awesome. So if they keep the demo, everything is going to be great for them on Fox.
So yeah, so well done, WWE. Congratulations. Really congratulations to everybody this week in terms of wrestling. This has been a fabulous week for wrestling.
We do it all again.
Next week.
You have really no break because there's Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and repeat. Yay.
And there you go. Yay. So there you go. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It does. Make sure you check out all the fine programming, including Wrestle Talk Radio, the Raw Post Show, Secret Radio, and of course, The Rack Live every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lindsay Ward, LNSWD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack Extra SmackDown Throwdown Edition, the very last one.
Maybe.
Reviewing SmackDown, maybe, unless something big happens. So, you know, tune in the regular show for the SmackDown preview now that we have, because they put it on Fridays. But anyway, you've been listening to The Rack Extra. We'll be back next week with the regular show, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com. Till then, bye! We are free!